In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do you remember? Well, of course you do. You remember lots of things. Most of them are from the past. And as for the present, it is revealing to you what might someday you will remember. But I can't think of anybody who remembers the future. Well, in fact, there is someone who does that. Namely, your Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, who created and sustains all things out of his tender mercies and his loving kindnesses of old. But not you. You can't remember the future. That has not been given to you. You might try to predict it, and many things are easily predictable, like day and night, cold seasons, the warm seasons, matter that behaves according to the laws of physics and so forth. But even those things, since they were created by God from the beginning, are subject to change according to his will, because he is the master. He is the Lord of all creation. He created you. He created you in such a way that you can remember things, and yet you are limited. Not just limited, but subject to remembering things that are harmful and sinful, things that accuse you, things that make you proud of yourself to the extent that you do not remember God. And so with that also comes this fact, of which I'm sure you're well aware: you forget a lot of things. Whether it's a simple thing like where you left your wallet and your car keys, or a deeper thing like where you really came from and where you are going, you have a mind and a body that has been corrupted by the sin of the first Adam, which has been imputed to you and damaged you so much in mind and body that your memories, they're foggy. They come out of nowhere. And your forgetfulness is, well, I was going to describe it, but I forgot how. Now, the reason I brought up this subject of remembering is because that is the very name for this Sunday. Reminiscere in Latin. Did I pronounce that right? Remember in English. Which Sunday, this day, for the foreseeable future, which, again, a future I cannot remember, will take place every second Sunday in Lent in this congregation. So it's important to consider just what kind of remembering is going on here. Our typical understanding of the word is simply that we consciously call things to mind. But it is inherent in your nature, isn't it, to be unable to decide how and what is going to come into your mind in the first place. And in a way, that's one of the beauties of God's creation of you, your mind. Today, however, the word remember, it's a prayer. It is a cry to your Creator. It is not the question, do you remember, like I asked at the beginning of this sermon. Do you remember that? No, this is a cry from your heart, from your created and yet fallen flesh. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And so to that end, because he does remember, the Lord God has placed into your hearing this gospel of the Canaanite woman who was at her wit's end. Have you ever been at your wit's end? Do you remember that time? Well, here we have a cosmic battle going on, a wrestling match unlike any other, because it involves heaven and hell and all of creation, as this mother has a daughter who is demon-possessed. Not just demon-possessed, but cruelly so. I cannot think of any form of demon possession that is not cruel. The Holy Spirit has St. Matthew using a word here that means something we need two words to say in English, especially bad. A person who is so badly demon-possessed is in no way willing and is in no way able to cry out for help. Demons do not ask for mercy. They kill and they accuse. They lie. They level false charges. It is their nature. This daughter, she needs someone to intervene for her. And that's what her mother is doing. And she went to the right place, didn't she? Jesus. She said the right things, didn't she? Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Listen to that again. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. The mercy she's asking for, it's not just for her daughter. It's for herself. Have mercy on me, Lord, she says. She might as well have been saying, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been from ever of old. And it gets better because the disciples are in the same boat. They're at their wits' end, too. In so many words, they said, have mercy on us, Lord. This lady is bugging us to death. Get her out of here. What a mess. What an absolute mess. And the kicker is this. For a long time, Jesus doesn't say a single thing. Doesn't say a word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though a war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And that's where you are. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord, he will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Wait. She's waiting. I mean, he hasn't said a thing yet. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That's Psalm 27, and I don't know if this Canaanite woman had the opportunity to hear that psalm, but it certainly fits her situation. It seems so often like God is so far away and so uninvolved with all the cares and concerns that you have from day to day, let alone sin and death and the devil. This Canaanite woman experienced it. The disciples experienced it. And you do too, in your own way. Now, back to this gospel text. There's even a bigger kicker here, because when he does speak, It's as if he speaks to kick the can down the road. Nope. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's true, isn't it? When God wrestled with Jacob and then gave him the name Israel, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. That, beloved in the Lord, is a clear indication that the saving work of God must take place through a specific line of DNA which God foreordained from eternity, a line of DNA which culminated in the very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is preaching to you through his clay vessel this day. And if that's not a kicker, Jesus telling his disciples that his life and work are not for Canaanites or anyone else, but for Israelites, he even goes so far after a while, after an unending persistence of this Canaanite woman, to tell her flat out, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That sounds like a proverb, doesn't it? I wonder if that was a common saying at the time, but it makes common sense. When I was a kid, I remember that. I used to take my mom and dad's bread and feed it to our collie, Bootsy. But I do not remember a time when mom or dad took what was on my plate and fed it to Bootsy, even though there were some times I wish they had. But here is what is happening. That precious redemption that God has executed from his remembrance out of all eternity will be meted out precisely in the way he does things, through Christ Jesus, whose lineage according to the flesh is through Abraham and his descendants according to and including Israel, with whom he identifies to the extent he actually comes down from heaven and wrestles with him, with his body. This coming down from heaven is his remembering. He knows who he created. He knows what he created, and he knows why he created it. And he knows that you are dust. And he has mercy even on this Canaanite woman and her daughter. And he has mercy on his disciples. And he has mercy on you. And that mercy can be seen no more clearly and no more precisely than in his cross, where he stretches out his arms and sheds his precious blood for the forgiveness of your sins, so that he remembers them no more, but remembers you according to his tender mercies and his loving kindnesses. For this reason, when you are at your wit's end and you think that God is far away and not near to you, do not despair. God's ears are not only wide open to you, but also is the flesh and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, given up for you freely upon the cross, delivered to you in your baptism, and soon placed into your mouth and body at this altar. Now, on a separate note, there is something you need to remember. It defines who you are. And it's why this epistle text was assigned for this day. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. It's good to be reminded of this, because your flesh, it's weak. It wants to go along and get along with the world. And even more, it wants to please itself. Your escape from all of that would drag you down to the pit. Is the one who is crucified, the one who is risen for you, who lives, who abides in you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.